Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The term that I've used is pole position.
It's time for Pole's Position.
So the number one pick, by the way, for the Bears is secured.
Brought to you by Black Diamond Plumbing and Mechanical. There when you need it.
The Chicago Bears are on the clock.
What will Ryan Poles do with the number one pick?
You guys are drafting Caleb Williams number one overall.
We'll see.
Congratulations.
Did it.
Congratulations.
Yep.
Congratulations. You did it. Okay, so.
We're counting down the days to the NFL draft.
Two picks, wow.
With the ninth pick in the 2024 NFL draft, the Chicago Bears select
9999.
So I listen to Pole's Position for the last 3 months, every single day, because apparently I don't need to get anywhere with my life. And it's been fantastic.
Sit back and watch them go.
With the first pick, the Chicago Bears select
the Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons on the Score.
Pole's Position brought to you by Black Diamond Plumbing and Mechanical. There when you need us. Jim Deshaies will join us in an hour. You can see him now on our Twitch and YouTube stream. He's been on the show before. He does great work with Up and Adams. He was an NFL scout. He coaches quarterbacks in high school. He was college teammates with Austin Huff, our guy over at US 99. Matt Hamilton with us on the Parkins and Spiegel Show. What up, Matt?
Hey, what's up? Excited to be back. Love the Austin Huff shout out.
Yeah, we love Austin Huff. Can we get a scouting report on Austin? Is that possible?
You know, Austin, he was a sneaky good athlete, high motor guy. You know, great attitude, absolute clown to have around in the best way. But yeah, he was the best. We were actually in our freshman orientation group together too. Like the first second we set foot on campus at Mizzou.
See, that's outstanding. Were you did you have that QB bravado, that QB condescension, that QB swagger? Like, is that part of your makeup? We're glad that it's part of Caleb's makeup. We're looking forward to a quarterback who actually believes in himself with a lovely, arrogant swagger. That's okay. Having some tech issues with Matt Hamilton. We will reassess. Danny, you feel me. I know you feel me on this. I'm so looking forward to Caleb Williams believing in himself with kind of an arrogant swagger that has not been present for quite some time.
You know, it's interesting because I think Fields has the swagger and it just wasn't consistent enough.
I think Fields got a little gun shy at times to release the ball, certainly in the pocket and sometimes even on the run, because he did not want to make the mistake. And I think we're going to have a guy who is aggressive and willing to make the mistake every once in a while, if you know, so he doesn't lose that aggressiveness, you know, tilt more towards the Josh Allen aggressiveness than what Fields had shown, which was just trying to make sure that he didn't put the ball in harm's way.
Yeah, it would be tough for me to know how much of that was a swagger and confidence issue and just a straight up post snap processing issue. You know, that'd be really tough to diagnose, because when I saw that guy make plays and hear his teammates talk about him, it's hard to imagine him having lacking confidence and, you know, and not believing in himself. That didn't strike me as Fields' issue, but I know I feel like I'm quibbling, and I don't mean to be, because I know exactly what you're talking about with Caleb.
Yeah.
Caleb is a superstar, carries himself like a superstar, and that should translate to the media setting, the meetings, the practice field, the field on game days, like for better and worse. And that was not always the case with Justin. Like,
right.
I will be very surprised if we have moments where Caleb carries himself in the way that we sometimes feel like Justin did. Do we have Matt back? Did I hear something in my ear there? I'm sorry if not, but we're working on. Okay, my bad. My bad. I thought I heard. We are working on reestablishing.
Yeah, the issue, like you're talking about, is sometimes, you know, whether that confidence it transcends onto the field and in all of those situations. What did Josh Lucas call it? Fluid intelligence, right? As part of
that post snap processing thing, right?
Yeah,
because I mean, at least how I looked at it was like, because remember he said that Trubisky. Because I was like, basically, how did you spend 5 hours with Trubisky and 5 hours with Mahomes and come away with the fact that Mitch was smarter?
Yeah, that's true.
And he's like, what do you mean? I'm like, Mahomes has this photographic memory. He can see plays in the back of his head, and Mitch is Mitch. And he's like, Mitch will answer every question for you on the whiteboard. He's like, Mitch can process a game plan, regurgitate a game plan, put it back up on the board for you, X's mm-hmm. and O's it to death. He's like, the problem with Mitch was once the snap happened, that's when everything sped up and he couldn't do it, and from Mahomes it slowed down. And it's funny, and that's what the S2 test was supposed to measure, which now has been thrown into complete chaos because CJ Stroud reportedly flunked it, and then he had one of the three best rookie seasons ever. We had Brian Baldinger on First and Pod and subscribe, rate, review, and I basically asked him this exact thing. I was like, hey, I'm going to preamble here for a second, Baldy, like, how is it possible that we haven't done a good job of post-snap analysis? And he's like, it's the thing that nobody knows. He's like, it's the thing that nobody knows.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen to Caleb Williams when Aiden Hutchinson is bearing down on him? We see it occasionally in college, but is it simpler? Is it slower? There's not enough reps that those guys face in college like they will face in the pros for us to really know.
Yeah, that makes sense. And that's part of confidence and makeup and the adjustments. We are back and connected with Matt Hamilton from Up and Adam and from NFL Network and so much more. Matt, thanks for talking to us. Who's the second best quarterback of this draft, by the way, after Caleb? You're a great quarterback analyst. Who's second best behind him right now?
That's a great question. And I'm trying not to give a cop out answer here. I think the most talented is Jaden Daniels. I think he showed it at the college level. So if I had to pick that second guy, I would pick Jaden, but I do think situation, as we've seen, I think it's really made it more and more evident that situation matters as much as anything else for these young quarterbacks. And, if Jaden lands in, let's say, New England, where he has no support system, he's probably going to struggle. If he goes to a Washington where he's got a Terry McLaurin, where he has Jahan Dotson, he has some weapons there, it's going to be a better situation to flourish. So I really do think, from what we've seen over these past couple of years, it's really emphasized the importance of the situation that these young quarterbacks land in.
So speaking of situation, do you agree with what is seemingly becoming the consensus that the Bears are a great situation for Caleb?
I really do. I mean, it's night and day from the situation that Justin Fields walked into with the support system he has. The offensive line is trending in the right direction. You have DJ Moore. You have Keenan Allen. You have a rebuilt defense. I think it really is an ideal situation and as good a situation as you can expect a number one overall pick to walk into.
With that said, then, part of that is, of course, what you just talked about, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, and the other players, but it's also the ninth pick. And that's honestly become a little bit more interesting for us because, or at least more as talk show fodder, because Caleb Williams is just established. We know it's happening. What would you say is the ideal thing for Ryan Poles and the Bears and their needs with the ninth overall pick?
It is kind of a great situation to be in because there's going to be some phenomenal players available to you. It's also a tough spot because if a Rome Odunze is there, even though receiver might not be the most glaring need with DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, it's hard to pass on a talent like that. But to me, I look at the edge rushers that are going to be there. There's a good chance they can get the top edge rusher off the board, whether it's Turner or whether it's a Jared Verse, and really create a hell of a combo with Montez Sweat. So to me, I really love the idea of taking an edge rusher there. I know like the sexy pick, the pick that the fans seem to want, seems to be another wide receiver, but I love the idea of going edge rusher there.
So that's interesting. If they have to wait, I mean, if they make a deal, then maybe they'll have something else. But if they have to wait until that top of the third, more likely to get an edge rusher they can use there, or more likely to get a wide receiver that they can use there in this draft?
I think more likely to get a wide receiver. I think this is as deep a wide receiver class as we've seen. I think, I mean, in general, the wide receiver classes in these drafts have just been getting deeper and deeper as we've kind of seen over the past couple of years. But this class is especially deep. I think you can get a receiver that can plug in there and really, you know, be a nice contributor. Whereas, I mean, of course, you can always find, you know, gems pop up all throughout the draft. But I think your best bet is to get one of those top edge rushers with that ninth pick.
Who are the non-top three wide receivers that you love the most? After Adunze and Neighbors and Marvin, who are your next couple that you love?
Xavier Leggett is really intriguing to me. I know he's kind of a late bloomer. It took until his fifth year there in South Carolina for him to really pop off and put it all together. But he really stood out to me. Xavier Worthy too is really interesting. He's not necessarily a guy because of his height that you think about spending a first round pick on, but he is a complete receiver. He's not just a speed guy. He's not just, you know, a John Ross combine wonder. He's a complete player. And that's somebody that would be really interesting to me to add in. And I think complement to Keenan Allen and DJ Moore really well. I don't know, you know, if they trade down, maybe he becomes a possibility. If they pick up like an extra second round pick, you know, I don't know if he's going to last until the third, but he's somebody who's really interesting to me here as well.
We're talking to Matt Hamilton. You coach quarterbacks. You've been around these guys at all various levels. When we were having the technical problems, we were talking about the difficulty, I don't know if you were able to hear it, of predicting who is not going to panic once the game speeds up and the ball is snapped. A lot of guys can regurgitate something on a whiteboard. A lot of guys can remember something in a meeting on an install practice on a Wednesday. But that was apparently the difference between Mahomes and Trubisky during the 2017 draft. Mahomes can do everything. He's like Neo in the Matrix. Mitch Trubisky panics when the bullets are flying. How do you know? How do you scout for that sort of thing?
And that is something I think you really have to pour through the tape at the college level and really see it. Like that is something that was my main concern with Sam Darnold coming out when I was watching his tape. You saw in some of those moments where there was a lot of traffic in the pocket, he panicked. It was something that, you know, and I'll be the first one to admit I underrated Mahomes coming out. Absolutely. But it was something you saw with him on tape. He was cool, calm, and collected no matter what was going on in the pocket. And I think that's where, you know, the college film can be deceptive in a lot of ways, but I think that's something that if a guy is showing those signs of panic at the college level, it's not going to get better when he gets to the NFL. Right. So I think that college tape is something where, you know, is a really good barometer of a guy's pocket presence and poise under pressure.
Kurt Warner says that the schemes are so infantile as compared to NFL schemes that it makes figuring out if guys can actually go through their progressions in the pocket makes that incredibly difficult. Do you agree with that?
I do, but also the NFL schemes are changing too to better adapt to what these college players are used to coming out. And I think that's what we saw Andy Reid do, right? When he got Mahomes, he changed his entire offense to fit Patrick and obviously incorporated some of the stuff that he was doing, a lot of those West Coast concepts, but he merged it with what Patrick was comfortable with. And I think, you know, the young quarterbacks that we're seeing be successful early on, that's what their offensive coordinators and head coaches have been able to do for them.
So we're talking to Matt Hamilton. Do you have a favorite player in the draft?
Another great and very hard question because I think this is a phenomenal draft. This is as loaded a draft as we've seen in years. I do love Caleb, that talent level. You know, getting your hands on him, if you're an offensive coordinator, if you're Shane Waldron, getting your hands on him is an absolute gift. At the receiver spot, I mean, all three of those big three receivers, but I do really like Romo Odunze. I think he's the complete package. He doesn't get quite as much buzz as Harrison and Neighbors, but I think he's going to be just as good.
going to be just as good as Marvin Harrison Jr.?
I really do think so. I think he's so complete, and he does everything. I've seen a lot of comparisons to Davante Adams, and I do think those are accurate.
Okay, so then I want them to go offense. Spiegs, I believe the last time he took a stand on this, wants them to trade down, but it's very tough to really know.
I do want them to trade down, and because I don't think four picks is enough, and there are enough interesting defensive options, either at edge rusher or at Byron Murphy, that they could find something in the 12 to 14 range. But yes, continue, Danny. That is my current opinion. Thanks.
Okay, I always check in.
I appreciate that.
Which way the wind's blowing over there.
Wow.
In a scenario where four quarterbacks, Joe Alt, and the three big receivers all go off the board. So Turner's on the board, Bowers is on the board, et cetera. What do you think the move would be at 9 in that spot if the big three receivers and the top tackle are off the board?
Yeah, I think you got to go with one of those pass rushers, whether it's Turner or whether it's Verse. I happen to like the upside of Verse. I think, there's still more to his game. I think he needs to add a little bit more of a variety of his pass rush moves. But I think the athletic profile is absolutely off the charts with him. And I think you can mold him into an absolute superstar pass rusher in this league.
See, I'm not sure what else there is for edge rusher left in free agency. Because, I mean, we're used to like those one-year veteran edge rushers being available. But there's not many left. They have to take an edge rusher. Do you have deeper ones that you like beyond Verse, beyond Dallas Turner? I mean, whether it's Chop Robinson or his teammate at Penn State on the other side, Walker's awfully good. But like, give us a couple that you like.
Yeah, Chop is really interesting because he reminds me a little of Rashawn Gary in the way that he didn't produce the way you would expect someone to with his athleticism. He's an absolute freakish athlete, but didn't quite put up the production, but the raw talent's there. Another guy we talked to today, actually, that was really impressive, we talked to him on Up and Adams, was Javon Solomon out of Troy. Obviously, we know they've had a great lineage of pass rushers go to the NFL. He's a little bit undersized, but height-wise, but the arm length is there. That you look for out of a pass rusher. And again, he's an excellent athlete, super, super productive, led the nation in sacks last year. He's a guy maybe you can get in that third round. But yeah, there is, there may not be, usually we see a pass rusher go in the top five. We don't have that guy this year, but there is a lot of other talent there, which speaks to your point. Maybe trading down a few spots isn't the worst move if you can pick up an extra second or third round pick.
Yeah, Danny, Adisa Isaac is the other Penn State edge rusher I was trying to remember.
Do you believe the J.J. McCarthy hype?
I think J.J. McCarthy in the right system, I think, could be very successful in the right situation.
Let's call it Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota in the Bears division.
Yeah, I think if you put him in Minnesota with Justin Jefferson as well and Jordan Addison, I think, yeah, he can be really successful. I think you look at him similarly to how you look at a Brock Purdy. In the right situation, he's going to flourish, and he's going to distribute the ball. He's going to make the right decisions. He's going to be accurate, but he's not going to be one of those guys that completely elevates your team when things hit the fan or when you don't have the caliber of talent around him. Like we saw Patrick Mahomes do, regardless of what was going on with the wide receivers, you're not getting that out of him, but you surround him with those type of pieces, I think he'll be very successful.
What one last thing just on the free agent acquisitions, what do you think of the fit of DeAndre Swift? I know you just did a big piece about Saquon and the fit there in Philly, but they move on from DeAndre Swift. You like that for the Bears?
Yeah, I think he's a talented player. I think, we'll see kind of what the run scheme is going to look like in Shane Waldron's offense. He struggled at times with the zone, a lot of zone running out of shotgun. You would expect with Caleb, they're going to do a decent amount of shotgun run game out of the shotgun. I think that's something he needs to work on. He's better in kind of those, like a power type scheme, I think. But he is very talented. I'd also like to see them use him in the passing game a little bit more. Philly didn't really do that. And I think that's where he really shines, and he showed it early on in his career in Detroit. So I'm hoping, yeah, they get him involved a little bit. He can really run routes. He's like another receiver out of the backfield and wasn't really utilized last year. So hoping Chicago can bring a little bit more of that out of his game.
Former NFL scout, coaches quarterbacks. He is an on-air contributor to the Up and Adams show. Matt, thank you very much for joining Pole's Position, man. We enjoyed it. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. There goes Matt Hamilton. Jim Deshays will join us in 40 minutes. Very much looking forward to that. Spiegs today, I won't give it all away yet, but he inspired the creation of a game, a segment, it could be a game, called Is This Real? Chicago White Sox edition, next on The Score.